Welcome back to Innovation. I'm Kara Hetland, and we're broadcasting at the University of Sioux Falls. And joining me in the studio is Jill Weimer. Thank you for being here.
Thanks,
I appreciate
Kara, for having
it. Welcome back. And you got to take a trip to Rome.
Yes,
Second time.
Yep, a great trip, great meeting.
Okay, tell me a little bit about this conference that you attend.
Sure. This is a conference that's hosted jointly by a foundation that's based out of New York, Stem Cell for Life, the Cura Foundation, in partnership with a group at the Vatican that's called the Pontifical Council for Culture. And the Pontifical Council of Culture hosts a number of different meetings that are really centered around educating the Catholic masses and individuals about different needs for human health. And so this particular conference originally started around the utility of adult-derived stem cells in medical treatments, but has really expanded over the last 6 years to include other types of treatments, including immunotherapies, gene therapies, and different things that really can have the potential in the next couple of years to save a number of lives.
Okay, and you focused on rare diseases?
Yep, my research at Sanford is centered around a number of different rare diseases, including a family of diseases, neuropediatric diseases called Batten's disease. And so over the last probably 3.5 years, we've really focused on therapy development. And one of the areas that we've really accelerated in is using gene therapy or using a common cold virus to essentially strip out the bad parts of the virus and insert the gene that's mutated in these rare diseases, so that we can put the correct copy back into the patients.
And as you attend conferences like this with, I'm sure, how many hundreds of other researchers, mm-hmm. do you learn something?
Oh, absolutely.
Do you develop a new hypothesis at all?
Yep. I actually, my big joke with my lab is that when I attend research conferences, I usually come back with 3 pages of, hey, we should do this experiment and do this experiment and this experiment. Because, you know, the importance of scientists coming together to share sort of their latest breaking news is really, it gives you an exposure to what's the cutting edge. How could you actually take a tool that maybe somebody in the cancer field right now is using? How could I use that and apply it to rare diseases or brain diseases? It's just nonstop sparking of ideas in these meetings.
Mm-hmm. So it's just listening and letting your imagination go.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's also, you know, the host of the meeting, Robin Smith, she really always says, too, that the biggest value of the meeting is the conversations that happen in between the sessions. So just this opportunity to interact with, world-renowned scientists who are in your field or in other fields who really are working towards the common goal of finding treatments for patients.
And are scientists really holding things close to their chest, or they want to talk about, they want to share, they want you to try something else?
Yeah, I think in the last decade, you've seen a real push from a number of rare disease and cancer foundations to promote the idea of team science and collaboration. Even the federal government is really pushing this. As scientists, we used to really look at ourselves as siloed. We really kept things to ourselves until it was ready to go into a publication or we had, you know, completed the full study. And so with these collaborative team science approaches, you see a lot more sharing, a lot more genuine collaboration between scientists, so they are sharing things. You'll still come across the old guard that, you know, really the only thing they're presenting is published data. It's not, you know, hot off the press science.
Okay. But it's, can you steal an idea? I mean, I'm thinking, you know, copyright ideas and that kind of thing, but can you really take somebody else's idea and run with it?
It happens. It depends on sort of the level of the intellectual ownership. Like if you've developed a novel tool, then probably no, they can't recreate that. They may not have the details, but an idea, yeah, definitely people can steal. And so we kind of walk this tightrope of wanting to be able to share as much as we can about what we're doing and being close enough to the study being ended that we still get sort of the ownership of that. I think that actually the other thing that's happened in the last 5 years is there have been these sort of biorepository sites where we can actually deposit data and pre-publications before they're actually accepted and published. And that gives us like sort of right of ownership. By putting out this idea, you were the first one to put it out in the public domain. And so then you can talk about it a little bit earlier because the publication process sometimes for us can take 3 to 6 months before, you know, and that's our sort of our hallmark of ownership of who was the first person to come up with this idea.
And describe the venue for me.
Oh, yeah. So actually, it's pretty amazing because anybody who's been to Rome and been to the Vatican City, you often walk up to the front of the Vatican, in front of the Basilica, but for us, we're going into a conference space, so we kind of get shuttled by the Swiss Guard through a secret entrance, and there's a wonderful conference facility that's located right next to the Basilica, and then on one of the evenings, they take us on sort of a private guided tour through the Vatican Museum, through the Sistine Chapel, and then we have a reception on the lawn, so it's a great insider look into the Vatican as well.
Hmm. And what kinds of things did you present? Stanford in general.
Yep. So actually, Stanford had a number of presentations. In fact, I would say that collectively as an organization, it was very impressive because we probably had more speakers. And the speakers are handpicked by the conference organizers. So I think it really is a tribute to the spectacular science that we're doing here. Dr. David Pierce and Dr. Stephen Herman talked about some genetic testing that our profile, our diet program, has recently rolled out. And the idea is to use this genetic testing to kind of determine how people are going to respond to different diets so that essentially you can have a personalized diet program based on your genetic makeup. Dr. Jason Hurd and Mark Lundeen talked about the adipose-derived stem cell trial that we have run using for rotator cuff, for partial tear rotator cuff. I talked on our Batten disease research and gene therapy, as I mentioned, and then Micah Aberson from our foundation talked about this exciting innovation prize that Sanford is going to be launching this year called the Lorraine Cross Award. And this is really an award, a very, very substantial award that's going to be given to a scientist somewhere from anywhere in the world that really has finished, that has really set out on a goal, a trajectory of doing spectacular science, leading to a treatment or a cure for a patient, and has made it across the finish line.
Okay, and you're still, that's coming, right?
Yep, that will actually roll out in the next couple of months. They'll bring together the selection committee. They've picked a dozen people from around the world who are top leaders in different areas of science. They'll come together as sort of the council to evaluate these and then make a nomination to the Sanford International Board who will ultimately select the final prize winner.
And how do you know which conferences to attend and how are you selected?
Yep. So there's two ways. When we go to research conferences, we're picking things in our specific area where we're going to go and meet up with colleagues that focus on particular topics that we're invested in our research programs. So for instance, myself, I would attend a biannual Batten's disease conference that this year will be held in London. I do a lot of neurofibromatosis work. So the neurofibromatosis group has an annual meeting that I would attend. And then also we frequently, depending on where we are in our career and our science, we often get invited to give talks at different meetings. So for instance, there's a rare disease conference in Boston in a few months that I've been invited to talk to. So it's a balance between things that people seek you out because you're an expert in an area to come and talk about, as well as things where you need to go and you need to sit in a room and you need to make those list of great new ideas that you're going to carry forward into your research program.
I am old enough to remember in this town that research really wasn't that high of a priority for medical research or as talked about, I think, as it is now. So it's really exploded in the last 10 years.
Yep, actually, it was almost 8 years ago that Sanford really started to build up our research program with the type 1 diabetes program, the Sanford Projects, and our children's health research program. And when I moved here 8 years ago, there were probably about 60 people working for Sanford Research in cancer biology and health disparities. We're now just shy of 300. So we've really grown that program and really, you know, worked with our partners on the health services division to recognize what value research brings to a medical enterprise like Sanford Health, that, you know, it brings patients in the door because they know we're doing cutting-edge science.
And 10 years from now?
10 years from now, continuing to grow?
Oh,
absolutely. Our trajectory of bringing in grant funding and starting new programs has been on a very steep upward climb, and I don't see that slowing down anytime soon.
You don't see a peak?
Nope. I think that we'll continue to bring great people here and continue to grow our programs.
Okay. And so then the reputation around the world only continues to grow as well?
Exactly. Okay. Hopefully, fingers crossed.
It's an assumption.
Yes.
Okay. Yep. Jill, I want to thank you. It's always a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you.
And when you have more studies to share, we're always happy to have you back.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.